Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
Like I said, not a lot of announcements. We have pub quiz. A lot of you probably know that the governor made an announcement about churches meeting and all of that kind of stuff. I think it's an update, right?
Yeah.
Recently. So there's probably a lot of feelings with that. And we are here to tell you we're going to continue doing what we're doing right now. You guys are filling out that survey, which is super helpful to give us an idea of what our community is looking for. So if you haven't had a chance to fill that out, I would encourage you to do it. It helps a ton. So the answers that you guys have given, the stuff you have written down, is really helpful for us to figure out what it looks like for us to move forward. But we're gonna continue doing this. And as a team, we are gonna talk more about what this all looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's good.
Not really like a ton with yeah. that, but any other things you want to share?
I don't think so. Again, we have Dano speaking today, if you just logged on. And so he's Chris's brother, lives in the cities, thinks he's really funny.
He's from Carleton, too.
He might try to prove that today, so we'll see. He'll most likely crack a joke about me, so get ready for that.
What's something else about Dano outside of him being Chris's brother?
Oh, you're good. That's good. Yeah. He's a good, really good drummer. Yeah.
I've actually never heard him play.
Yeah, he's really good. He was in a band called Medford that blew up in Duluth.
Just famous in Duluth. Back when?
No, they blew up. That was back in the...
Back in the 60s? I'm just kidding. Dano's not that old. Well, I am going to step away so Steve can play guitar. Unfortunately, I don't sing, so
hey, Jordan.
He is going to play a couple songs, hey, and then, Chris.
We got a couple new people. Chris Sanders.
Oh, hi, Nikki, great. Morgan, Jordan.
Carlton, cool.
Chris, you're on vacay. That's cool. You can stop in. I'm going to step out of the way. Steve's going to do worship, and then we are going to transfer it over to Daniel.
All right. Oh, you know what?
What do you need?
My phone. I left it up there. I need that for it. No, I got it. Yeah. I got that. So our first song is Holy Spirit Come. And again, I encourage you. Thank you.
Yep.
I encourage you to, if you don't know the lyrics, follow along, look them up on Google and follow along, or you know, find a cozy spot in the house and relax and invite the Holy Spirit close today. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dwell here. Fill your church with joy overflowing. Peace overflowing. Love overflowing. Thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, dwell here. Fill your church with joy overflowing. And peace overflowing. And love overflowing. All of your glory. Fill your church with joy. Song, Resting, by Rita Springer. Resting in your presence. All that I want, Lord. Resting in your presence is all that I ask for. To be more like you, inside, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. Jesus, we ask for that today. Thank you so much for this beautiful day and spending it with you this morning. Feels good. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to hand it over to Dan Osada.
Hello. Looking good? Not me. Steve's looking good. The feed's looking good. Well, I'm really happy to be here with you all today. I feel like preaching over Zoom at neighborhood church is the closest I can get to being in Carleton County today. So I'm one step closer to heaven. Miss it. How's it smell up there today? How's it smell, Cloquet? How we doing? I'm going to take a guess that it smells great with a few little pockets of that sweet, sweet, sappy stench. Call me old school, but I'm more of a potlatch stench kind of guy. I don't know. That's a regional specific reference. There was a little stretch between Scanlon and Cloquet that always has that sappy, sweet air. So if you want to try that out, give it a shot. Today I'm going to talk about perspective, about how we can change our perspective. I'm going to say this probably many times today, but things are strange. Things are weird. I need a new perspective on how to see things because I am stressed. I worry. It's a big emotional cocktail full of different things. So I could use a different vantage point on how to see them. So I thought I'd just give you a few COVID reality perspectives that you can change, might help you out. Do a couple of quick fire ones right now. First of all, if you're like me, you don't exactly feel comfortable playing video games, maybe during the day or in front of your kids. That's why I figured out you can just call them simulations, not video games. So you can run a couple of NBA basketball simulations, a couple of soccer ones, a couple of Wild West simulations in the Red Dead Redemption-iverse. Another one. If you like to wear the same comfy, grubby clothes, you can just call it your uniform and then you can get away with it. Then you're not lazy, then you're just responsible. So that's a good perspective change. A kiddie pool and a chair and a hose means you can have that fruity drink a little earlier in the afternoon, but maybe is usually acceptable, which is nice. Finally, yard squirrels are your best friends now. They're your family. So you can talk to them for hours and hours and hours. And they're great listeners. And they're right out there. I have a million of them. And I love them as if they were my children. Because now they are. I need some help to see things differently. Like some of you, my job is on hold right now. It's waiting for me once everything is given the clear to do it. But even that, I'm not sure what that looks like. I work in the service industry at the moment while I'm finishing up school. And it's not happening. And so I'm home all the time. My wife is also working from home in this room. It's our office. And it's just a new reality for us and our family. We're home all the time. We don't see friends as much as we used to. We have backyard fires three times a day, I feel like. And that's the only way we can really see community outside of screens, which is also great. But I miss people. I miss acquaintances. I miss going to breweries and festivals as spring and summer is opening up right now. We're missing out on a bunch of events that we normally love to go to. I love seeing old coworkers and old people I used to go to church with and friends. I miss hugging my friends. I miss setting that example for our kids, that affection like that is good between adults and between people. I feel guilt sometimes with my kids about if they're getting what they need, about if they're getting too much story bots, maybe not enough story bots, I don't know. I feel stressed about if they're getting a semblance of an education or a normal childhood. I have no idea what this all is gonna look like. And people are squirrely. I feel like the leaders and the people that make decisions suddenly have no idea what's going on and what's gonna come next, because no one really knows how this is all gonna play out. And so it's a strange, stressful time. And so I thought today we'd use a couple of things to guide us on this talk. One is my reality that I go on walks all the time. I feel like that's all I do now. And it's been great. I go on hikes and walks with my two young boys and sometimes with friends. And so I'm going to use a lot of examples from what I've experienced and learned and some thoughtfulness that perked up as I was thinking about this, specifically through the lens of our passage today, which is Luke 12, starting at verse 22. I'm going to use that to be our guide and then use a lot of examples from creation, from nature. And I hope it lands on some fresh soil, as it were. So I'm going to pray, and then we can read Luke chapter 12, if you want to join me in that. Well, God, I lift your name up, Jesus. You are good. You are beautiful. You are God. And we recognize that. And so we want you to be a part of this time that we have together. So we invite you to be a part of this time. Would you speak to us the way that you speak to us personally? Would you give us inspiration? Would you give us peace in these strange times? And if nothing else, God, I pray for a sense of your presence, that it maybe would even bring a sense of normalcy, that we are home with you when we feel your love and we feel you near. So we invite that now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read. You can join me if you'd like. Starting in verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Well, how can we not worry? A few changes in perspective might be the difference. And the first one is that we can't control everything. That we find ourselves now as a as a global population in this time of suddenly not having as much control over things as we once did a few months ago. And to varying degrees, depending on your position or how much power or authority you have, everyone is feeling this loss of control that we felt not so long ago. Nowhere is this more evident than people that are making decisions, specifically, as an example, sports leagues and team owners. Every day there's a new pitch about, you know, having the Disney cruise will be the new NBA arena for the next 2 months, or we're going to open up baseball and have, you know, our best friends, the squirrels, be the audience. You get the point. It's not going to happen. Like, no one has control over what's going to happen with the virus, with the economy, with opening things up. I feel like everyone wants it, but no one has it. And I feel that in my life, I do not have control over these things. And this is where I feel like the turning of the seasons can really speak to us. As some of you might be able to relate, I was getting crabby at the end of winter, early spring. I needed to get out of this house. I needed to get away from indoors, and being outdoors just sucked. But now the seasons are changing. Things are blooming. Things are becoming beautiful once again. And I feel like seasons are a way to teach us that we do not have control, that we just have to be where we're at and who we are, and be patient and find the ways to calm our privilege that we should be able to dictate what happens next. And that's something that this verse speaks of with the ravens. They do not have control. They do not get to insert themselves into where they get their food, right? A silly image when I think about a crow being a farmer. But animals and nature have to depend on these cycles, these rhythms of the seasons, where things come from, how things are gathered. This passage says that God gives it to them. I think that God gives them their food by through the way that animals get their food, through creation. This master creator that is God provides for his creation the way that they are meant to get it. When we try to control things, we feel the need to impose ourselves. We feel the need to insert our opinion. I feel the need to insert my strengths, my ideas, my privilege. This is how things should run. This is how things should end up and move forward. And those avenues are now dried up, and we have been taken out of the driver's seat and put in the back seat. And so the more that I can let go of this need to be in control, the more my perspective might change, where I can just have faith that somehow things will be provided. Now, that's not to say that we just say, you know, ravens can't farm, they're birds, and if they get to eat, then God's going to feed me too. Like, obviously, we're not going to just sit back and wait for God to come feed us somehow. Rather, it's tapping into some core questions. It's tapping into a very intimate confrontation with our needs. What do I need right now? And where can I find those things? How can I meet those needs with what is around me? And the way that we do that is we accept who we are. We accept that we are human beings. And the more I can just be comfortable with that created reality, that I am just a human being in the rhythms of life, in the seasons that come, and I have to just learn how to use the things around me that God has provided. So if I can accept my humanity, I can accept the beauty that is being human, being a created in the image of God person that misses Carleton County and misses all of you. But in all seriousness, this is what one thing I love about Neighborhood Church and how it is such a blessing for me in my church story and the contrast that I've had with other churches in the past. And I'm not ripping on them. I don't mean to make that contrast, but I'll say this about Neighborhood Church. You have taken these steps. You have taken this invitation to let people be who they are. Just as a crow isn't a farmer and isn't expected to be one, you don't have to be anything that you're not. You were invited today in Christ, certainly at Neighborhood Church, where you're at, you were invited to simply be who you are here right now. You are unique, you are creative, you are not defined by status or career trajectory or gender norms or sexuality or where you're from or where you're not from or who you're with or how well-liked you are. God made you, you, and you have the uniquely human attribute of letting that beauty out, that uniquely human thing of being creative, of growing, of learning, of sharing that beauty that is within you. And we get to be a part of that process. I get to learn from your unique beauty. I get to be inspired by your art, by your music, by your stories, by your lives, and I am better because of that. So we can consider the flowers. One of the things that I mentioned, we go on walks all the time, and I don't know what it is. I feel like every year I forget about lilacs. And then I see these lilac bushes blowing up and the aroma of them, and nothing can match that. No candle can match the lilac scent. And if it did, it would be called graduation party, because that's what I think of when I smell lilacs. I think of graduation parties. As you guys, some of you know, my brother and I and our family, my dad was a teacher. And that means that my mom was also in the education system. So we would go to grad parties all the time when we were kids. I think mainly, you know, my dad probably had to show up, but I guarantee it, it's a free meal. So for five kids, you got to get those ham rolls. That's sustenance, baby. So we'd go to grad parties all the time, and lilacs always bring me back, and they're good memories. So we consider the flowers. We go on these hikes. We visited every park in the metro area. When you go on two hikes a day, as I feel like we do, you experience new things. And I just want to say, never have I missed your area more. Jay Cook is a beautiful thing. It is better than the rest. And I get jealous of seeing your pictures and some of your posts about all the beauty that's constantly around you. But as we consider the flowers, when Jesus speaks of these wildflowers, how not even the wealthiest, most elaborate, beautiful King Solomon, right, in the Old Testament, his splendor was, you know, without comparison. His riches were the riches in the history of Israel and in the Bible. He's one of the most, his kingdom was so vast and so set up by the king that came before him that he was just like known as the rich king that had all the beautiful stuff. And Jesus here is comparing that to a flower, not even a regular flower, a wild flower, a weed, right? Speaking of perspectives, my five-year-old and my two-year-old always, you know, they're discovering like dandelions again, and they just think they're the most beautiful thing ever. And our yard is nothing if not just a den of creeping Charlies. And they think that God has blessed them with like the secret garden of our backyard is just a sea of purple flowers. And I need to let that speak to me. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about weeds. Wildflowers are not intentionally grown oftentimes, right? And yet these things are what he is saying. Not even the greatest king, the most beautiful dressed king, can even touch one of these flowers. And these grasses of the field, which are nothing, right? They're thrown into the fire, as he said. We are more beautiful than even them. And God will provide all of that for us. And I think one of the things that I want my perspective to change in is that I'm beautiful. You are beautiful. We have this divine love of the Creator inside of us, inside of you. And part of being human And part of taking Jesus's words seriously is letting that beauty out. Letting that beauty that God has put inside of us, that God is calling us to, saying, just release it. Just share it. It's not inviting us to compare ourselves to the beauty of nature or whatever, like, oh, that cherry tree's blossom is more beautiful than my shirt. I need to have more faith or whatever. Rather, it's to clock that beauty, to reflect on that beauty. That if that is so beautiful, how is it that Jesus is saying, I am more beautiful than that? So as we go on these hikes, as we walk around our streets, our neighborhoods, there is beautiful things everywhere for us to let it speak to us. Let it speak to what God says about that and what God says about us. Reflecting on how different aspects of creation speak to the experience of our reality, not only connects us to creation, it connects us to the Creator. I'm big on this kick. I'm on a faith journey of letting God speak to me anywhere that I can get it, right? I don't know if I'm on the same page that I once was about how God speaks, about how God's voice works, but I do know that the slow growth and steadfastness of a tree can speak to me about enduring, about faithfulness, that the creativity of how grass and weeds weave in and out of our fence and around these logs and find a way through the cracks of the sidewalk and the decrepit building behind our house, somehow there's still life that bursts forth from that. That points me to what God says about me, that I cannot be more than I am, more than He's made me. But the good news is He's made me beautiful. He's made me with the divine right to be able to be creative and to be able to share that beauty with everyone else and whatever that might look like. Jesus spoke of the raven, a bird that no one intentionally feeds. Jesus spoke of the wildflower, something that we don't cultivate in our gardens on the regular. But both have worth. Both find a way by being what they are. Both reflect the divine by living the life that they were given. And things are hard right now. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't, in good faith and good conscience, tell you that to simply trust God and that everything's going to be fine and that God's in control, because I don't know what that means. And I don't know if everything's going to turn out fine on that subjective scale of what, you know, that might even imply, what that even says about God, because I don't know what happens next, but I can reflect on these words of Christ. I can reflect on the examples that He laid forth, not only in Luke 12, but all across the gospel. And I can take heart that there is lessons from the created natural world around me that can give me new perspective on God, on myself, and about our collective situation. And he ends this passage by saying, seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be given. And what is the kingdom of God? I know it's talked about at neighborhood church all the time, but I'll put it like this. The kingdom of God is what it looks like when love drives everything forward. When love is the vehicle and the mechanics that move our lives, our perspectives, our way of living forward. When it's through love, when love is the engine, we are experiencing the kingdom of God. When love wins out over everything, when love is the reality around us, when love conquers fear and boredom and anxiety and stress and even death, the invitation of Jesus is to let love rule our lives and fill our hearts, and for love to be the perspective that all things pass through. I feel like when I can do that, when I can just let that love, that kingdom of God, into my reality, into how I view my situation, my future, everything, then I'm experiencing more peace, more of God's love, and I can breathe and be who I am, and be a part of what's around me. When I can be what I am, which is a created, loved, beautiful image bearer of the divine, then I feel better and I can go another day. So thank you for letting me speak. I can't see any of the comments because I'm on a different screen, but I love you guys. I love Steve. Love you, Steve. Love you, Ange. Thanks so much for having me.